We're not going to read all these Bibles, don't worry. Let us pray. Lord God, pray a blessing on us gathered here, that we might hear your holy word, that we're empowered by your spirit, we're empowered by the land here in Hope Valley, neighboring businesses, Hope Valley Brewing Company and Dunkin' Donuts and Burger King. Let all of these places in your kingdom be inside with us for a moment. Help us to hear and be with our other brother and sister communities in this town, Calvary, Durham Memorial, Iglesia Bautista, Hope Valley, this Hope Valley, Lowe's Grove, Mount Hermon Temple, the Tobacco Trail Church, Watts Street, and Yates. Lord, bring us a unifying power of the Cooperative Baptist Fellowship. Surround it around Hope House and the work that is happening here. Jordan High School, Garrett Road, 54751. Let us hear and see just a glimmer. We don't have to see it all. We wish, we sometimes fearfully proclaim that we see it all, but if we could just see and taste and hear and touch a bit of your word, that would be enough for us this July morning. Pray all these things in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Friends, thank you for having me this morning. This is a great pleasure. My children have been here before to VBS at Hope Valley Baptist Church. Bill has become a great friend and colleague. I went to CBF. Was anybody else at CBF National, the General Assembly, a couple of weeks ago? I'm not a huge 2,000-person kind of conference person. It's not my thing. And I'm sort of going through, and I can only be there one day, and I was going through various meetings and breakfasts and that kind of thing and really trying to, it's not my thing. It's a bunch of people that I love, but it's not, it's too much for me. It's actually a little bit of sensory overload. And then I'm walking through the sort of main gathering outside the big conference hall, and Bill walks over to me and asks me to preach today. And when I drove home that night, I thought, okay, I knew why I went to Greensboro today was for that one invitation and opportunity. So thank you on behalf of your pastor for welcoming Kristen and I and some of our members here this morning. So it's a great pleasure for us to be with you. This text, this scripture, this title, Under the Words, Under the Rocks Are the Words, here's what I ask of you, because I'm not going to satisfy and neatly clean up the gospel this morning. It's not going to be that kind of sermon. Here's at the least what I ask of you. Imagine a river. It needs to be moving. I'd like you to press yourself. It's not a lake or a pond, though. If you're a lake person, you got to do it. It's good enough. It's water. But imagine for yourself some moving water. Could be Eno moving fairly quickly when it's high. Sometimes the Eno's low and it's moving not so fast. Could be the Nantahalan, it's moving really fast. Could be Class 5 Gauley. Could be the ocean, but some moving water. And if you stay on that image and imagine the rocks underneath that beautiful and wonderful and creative and innovative water, but down below, underneath those rocks, is the word. The words, their words even, that we're looking for. So I invite you to that image, if nothing else. If you at least could say you went away and you were like, I don't know, I thought about water, and that was good. That made me want to get in the ocean where, you know, a lot of our friends are today, right? And no big deal. A lot of times I come to churches, and I'll come in the summer, and folks will say, oh, my God, there's usually more people here. A big gathering for the Tobacco Trail Church is 15 people. This is a massive mega church today. I'm so excited to be here among all the thousands of people. I'll try not to have my anxiety attack. No, I love large groups, small groups. I do remind you, God calls two or more, and there is the church. And a lot of times we need to shrink and grow. We are not in a numbers game, though we are sharing this with everyone who will listen. But we give all thanks to those who are out at the beach and discipling out there, right? Having Sabbath and rest, It's wonderful. That's what. Who's got a vacation coming up? Raise your hand if sometime in the next month or two you have a vacation. Praise God. So do I. I need it bad, and so do you. And that means it will take you away, in all likelihood, on a Sunday from Hope Valley Baptist Church. Okay, the one thing I promised Bill that he really wants is for me to tell you about the Tobacco Trail Church. So I'm going to do that first. It's very hard, I find, to talk about your own work, dare I say, in this humbly my own project. It's 6 years in, and I still barely know how to talk about it. So I'm gonna read from what I wrote 6 years ago and has been edited a few times, but I believe is spirit-driven. Hey, we're 6 years old. We made it. Pentecost 2016, and we're still open. Church plants usually are done in 3 to 4 years, and that's okay. It's actually a part of the kingdom of God where churches begin and then are just closing their doors, and sometimes there's church plants that last 150 years, and then they need to close their doors, and that kind of thing. The church goes on and on. The work of God goes on, I guess, until we get to the very end of chapter 22, but right now we're in year 6, so we're ecstatic. So here's what I wrote about the Tobacco Trail Church. This was on between Monday, Thursday, and Good Friday in the middle of the night, 2010, for about the next 8 hours. I crafted more or less the version of this short piece. Tobacco Trail Church is an outpost in the body of Christ focusing on the people and land near the American Tobacco Trail in Durham, North Carolina, and the surrounding areas. Our fellowship and mission begins with a fourfold model of worship: gathering, word, practice, and sending forth. No different than what we're doing here together, though it might look slightly different. We're both CBF churches. Simply, we get together. We actively listen to scripture and preaching. We participate in the ancient practices of the church, such as the Lord's Supper, foot washing, anointing, and baptism of new believers. Finally, we are set loose to be God's people in the world and to share the body of Christ in all that we do. At our primary level, we are formed to worship God. We are invited to take all the historic Christian traditions of worship and both mimic and renew them through the gifts of imagination, creativity, and restoration. So the big point is there, we're doing everything that every other church has done, but we've also got freedom to do it in some different ways. We're called to go forth and enjoy the creative wonder that is God's world. We celebrate the outdoors actively. We take note of the details of nature. We share the glories of God's creation by making friends with our neighbor, be they perceived friend or foe. We gather in the Spirit as we participate in recreational or recreational activities. Specific to the American Tobacco Trail, this may begin with walking, running, and biking, but we are not limited in terms of how the trail might be used more creatively. We are not limited to the American Tobacco Trail, but extend outwardly from this artery to other trails, tracks, roads, and pathways near and far. And I give thanks for you and pray for you regularly, because you're within a mile of the Tobacco Trail, and as the crow flies, you're really close to I-40 and the bridge, which is a major impact. If anybody lives near that part of town, which I bet many of you do, in Woodcroft or on the other side of I-40, praise God for the bridge coming over. It's not just for use, it's for increased real estate values, which is all about this being a more attractive place to live, a more desirable place. There could be no more desirable church location than yours. Don't forget it. And I like to say some of that is proximity to that artery that we call church, the American Tobacco Trail. The Holy Spirit has infused us with power to imagine the church based on traditional models and outside of traditional models. For now, we are blessed with mobility and simplicity, gathering in no one plot or building, but staying mobile and creative, listening to where the Spirit tells us to gather in order to begin our liturgy or the work of the people. We typically meet Sunday afternoons on the American Tobacco Trail. Our first public worship was June 26, 2010, and we planted on May 22, 2010, the day of Pentecost, trusting that we heard and are hearing the God who speaks. That was written by me, George Lanning, pastor. Now, this last quote that I have at the bottom of this, this could feel the charged piece. And just like the remainder of the sermon that we'll get into, it may feel like dangerous area for you and fearful even to say what church is or isn't or how it's different than your imagination, the same way that what the Word of God is or isn't or extending it beyond this and outside of these words could be dangerous. Dangerous to your own sensibilities, dangerous to your great-grandmother, whatever. So I ask you to just be aware of that. But this is a quote from Wendell Berry. As I have read the Gospels over the years, the belief has grown in me that Christ did not come to found an organized religion, but came instead to found an unorganized one. He seems to have come to carry religion out of the temples, into the fields and sheep pastures, onto the roadsides and the banks of the rivers, into the houses of sinners and publicans, into the town and the wilderness, toward the membership of all that is here. Well, you can read and see what you think. Now, a lot of people still ask the main basic questions. How many people come, where do you meet, and what do you do when it rains? How many people come? 15 on a big day. We meet all different locations, probably between the bridge over I-40 and north to the ballpark. Let's just take that 8 miles. We've worshipped 60 or 65 different locations, I would say. We now only worship, gather on the trail or nearby the trail once a month. But we're, which I actually think is growth for us. So hold on to that image. We've gone from weekly gatherings to monthly gatherings. Lots of vibrant churches, probably your grandparents went to them, that gathered for worship because of 2 and 3 point charges by pastors, meaning they got around. And they got together once a month. Now we get together every week and many more times for other opportunities, but we worship once a month. It's a bivocational role. I'm the one pastor, and it's largely unpaid. And I have degrees from Furman and Duke, but guess what? All will be well. It's all good. Like, we're not even homeless yet. It's great. Like, there's always, I mean, a lot of you are ministers that are unpaid. Some of us are ministers that are paid. I'm unpaid. That's really not the, there's not a lot about that actually in the scriptures, though Paul does say, he writes some letters and then says, I need to get paid, but it tends to be kind of scrambling and that sort of thing. So one of the great gifts and joys for me as of late has been to sort of free myself. Wow, I'm ordained clergy and lots of colleagues are sort of salaried and in more structured, organized churches, but a lot of times they're also wanting me to preach at their churches and say, we need to hear more about this. What's going on here? How are we empowering the laity and how do we have new clergy? I don't know, but maybe the role of it has something. So you're hearing my honest assessment. We will take your money. Don't you be afraid. You want to make the Tobacco Trail Church a mission partner, we're all for it. But, I mean, I was thinking about this morning. What if the Tobacco Trail Church doesn't need money as badly as it needs to raise money and give it to the Hope House at Hope Valley Baptist Church? What are all the what ifs? And we are the people who have a common purse who share our resources together. That's the big church. That's what we're doing. So anyway, a little bit of a, but I take that seriously because I take that as an interpretation of the Word of God. You heard me list in the opening prayer the 10 CBF churches in Durham. Now, there's lots more around. Could have named our Chapel Hill friends and our Raleigh friends. But if you don't know the 10 CBF churches, you should find out about them. I'm going to read them off one more time just so you hear them in another setting. And some of you might have gone to one of them at some time, which, praise God. Calvary, Durham Memorial, Iglesia Bautista, Valle de Esperanza. Your home here, Hope Valley. Lowe's Grove, Mount Hermon, where my good buddy Rich is pastor, Temple, Tobacco Trail Church, where I serve, Watts Street, and Yates. There's hundreds of more churches, right? And I hope your partner and friends, and you may know more people at other different kind of churches, but even we're all trying to do something together, be missionally together, have some holding tight to soul autonomy or something Spurgeon. Something's important in our roots about being Baptist. So look out for those brothers and sisters in the Yates Baptist Association in a particular way. And I encourage you in a big way, and I know many of you already know them, reach out about what's happening. Where is, give me some proximity, where is Hope House? Is it back this direction? Is that where it's going to be, right behind? Okay. Praise God. I'm getting excited about that story. Really, really excited about what God's doing. I bet you don't know what God's doing, all of what God's doing. So there's something in the water. There's always something in the water. God's stirring up the water. And I want you to focus in, and it was great, though, because Amy preached on the darkness and the light, and it was awesome. Thank you. I still didn't have any idea what she meant, and that's not because of her. I have no idea what it looks like when the darkness and the light is gone and just God is the replacement of the light. I don't know what that means. I don't know what much of Revelation means. I just know I really like it. I know when I was a little kid, I was afraid of it. I grew up in a church that was a little bit afraid of, there's a lot to be afraid in there. There's a lot of horsemen and that kind of thing, but I do love this text. What I'm afraid of in it is that I don't understand it or know it. But what if we could be the people who lean into the mystery of the Word of God, who just patiently said, I'm going to go down in the water and look under the rock. Well, what if you drown? Well, I'm not going to. I trust that I'm not, because under the rocks are the words. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, through the middle of the street of the city. Now, in this vision, the water is crystal and bright. But how deep is it? How much light is shining through it? I mean, this water's not crystal, but it's because the bottom is brown. About 5 or 6 days ago, it was a huge afternoon thunderstorm. And two of my children, William and Catherine and I, we hiked out on the Eno in a terrible lightning storm. All the things you shouldn't do. Somebody like me who knows a lot about whitewater paddling and outdoors, we just got out of the car in the middle of a lightning storm and just went. The three of us and the dog, and we just hiked down the trail. We weren't going to get in the water. And then the lightning subsided. And I was amazed. I didn't really think it would happen. I knew my youngest would want to get in the water big time. But I wasn't going to press anybody to having a bad experience. I did not think my daughter would want to get in the water. It's brown and dirty, and it's not really dirty, but it looks dirty. It's not particularly dirty. It was because it's raining a lot. There's a lot of that water's clean, but you can't see down at the bottom. I know that this text is crystal bright light. It doesn't talk about the bottom. It doesn't talk about the rocks at the bottom, but we're holding on to some other water. I mean, I got to count the Eno as a heavenly, holy river through the city. We baptize people there. We don't have a baptismal font, as you can imagine, so we need another one. We just go up to Coal Mill Road and dunk them in the water. It's pretty awesome. A lot of people, I'm all talking about grandfathers and grandparents, that's how they got baptized. Anybody baptized in a river in open water somewhere out, praise God. Yeah, and it's not better or worse. This is unbelievable. Is there this baptismal font back here? Yeah, I love baptismal font stories. I love going with pastors and staff and laity into baptismal fonts and walking in the space and talking. Who's baptized in this font? Anybody? Amen. Amen. Great river in there. Great river out in nature. It's all water. It's all water. It's all this stuff going on. The waders, we're going to heat it up. Which is odd. What do you go in? What kind of gown? So you got to bear with me that even though the imagery, it's not crystal clean like it is here, but John of Patmos, I mean, and I saw another mighty angel coming down from heaven wrapped in a cloud with a rainbow over his head. His face was like the sun and his legs like pillars of fire. I think he gives us some liberty. I really do. I think he gives us a little bit of liberty. We're to get the point of the awesome of God, but not to take any one thing and go, no, it's crystal clear. Don't tell me it's not. So we're in the non-crystal clear Eno River. We jump in. The kids drive all of this. Really, Catherine drives this decision-making. It has to be her. Arthur's nervous about it, the dog, but he's excited about it too. And we just start swimming down the river. Now, the canoeing and kayaking world that I lived in, there's all this anxiety. Who's been rafting somewhere, like the Nantahala or something? Okay, one of the things that we teach, you got to have your feet up. You don't want to get foot entrapment, all this danger. So I've been trained that way. But I also know if the water's not moving much and you're light on your feet, you can walk around in moving water. Now, we did that for a half a mile. We walked, we swam. The dog was nervous, and, you know, he's a good kind of Labrador hound, so he's strong enough, but he slept hard that night because he swam too much. He's getting up on trees and strainers and everything else. But I want to tell you what I wouldn't have been willing to do. Dive down to the bottom and look under the rocks. We felt pretty courageous, but we were not looking under the rocks. And Norman MacLean, so I can give credence here, he's the one who says this. Under the rocks are the words, and some of them are theirs. It's the very end of a river runs through it. Movie, and I'm now immersed in the book. I finally bought the book, and his father's a Presbyterian minister. I'm afraid of under the rocks in the Eno River. I don't want to go down there. I won't call on my wife, but she's going to say, there's snakes down there. Now, there probably aren't under the water. There aren't a lot of sea electric snakes down there, but just me talking about it like this lets her know, just as a reminder, she's not even going in the Eno at all, right? Right. I mean, I know that she, head down in the water, under the boulders, that's where the Word of God is. Now, I'm begging the question for us, and I bet collectively we have a few thousand, maybe 10,000 years. We could do this analysis of years of Christian disciples. If we add it all up, how long we've been Christians, we're an expert, wise crew. We don't know anything yet. We don't know anything. I don't know more because Reverend's on the front or I went to Duke Divinity School, or would I then know more if I went to... No, I don't know anything. Now, I know that I would like to say, great is thy faithfulness. But great is thy faithfulness is a humility to know I don't know. These two Bibles are my grandmother's. They've both died, but they both helped call me to Christ. Now, you look, just look at them. What versions of the Bible are these? King James, absolutely. King James. Now, we don't read the King James anymore in 2016 churches all that much, though some of you do, and you should. It's great now that we've reclaimed it. The only reason we should not is some of the language is tricky for us and outdated, but I love some of the things that you all do that's both sort of 2016 and then a lot of God He. It's all good. It's all mixed in together. This is great worship. I really, guide me, O thy great Jehovah. I mean, I couldn't get through the first verse until I got myself together because Sarah DuBose, Lenny, just sang that song and helped call me to Jesus because of it. Now, for a moment, these seem like oldish Bibles. Grandmother Johnson's Bible, I looked through it. It doesn't even have a copyright date. Somehow they just got around doing that because it seemed more like the Word of God if you didn't put that. But I'm guessing it's also around this because they would have been about the same age. There's us at Piper's about 25 million years ago. This one's 1901. This is brand new. This is brand new. Now, you're going to see, I'm going to be willing to be on this. The reason I'm claiming this is brand new, I'm going to go liberal on this one. Scopes monkey trial, I'm not for it. I'm really with a kind of evolutionary story where God has, the rocks have been there for millions and millions of years, and all of that is consumed into the Genesis story. We won't go all down that path. But so I'm claiming that the world is millions and millions of years old. This is brand new. This is brand new. 1976, this is really, really brand new. NRSV from my ordination, It's a 1976 copyright, but I got it in 2008 when I got ordained. I mean, that's 8 years ago. In some ways, I mean, if you're 9 years old, 8 years is all of your life. You can't even remember 8 years old. So some of this words of God, we get at it with getting at time. And time is as unclear as what it will look like when the darkness and the light go away. We know that Jesus is our light, right? Amen. Amen. Come on. We know that's the light. But what does that look like? I mean, I'm afraid to get to the end of this book because I don't have all the answers. And I come mostly from a tradition that says this is everything. And I do think it's everything. So this is where I don't want you misunderstanding. These, I mean, I've brought a lot of Bibles that I read on a regular basis. I hope that accounts for, oh, it's very important, right? There's that fifth Bible, right? Right? Like that's a mind-blowing concept that this is a great way. You're calling new Christians, you're less likely here than you are here, that you've got to submit to this. And it is. It's the same word of God. It's not inherently bad or worse than Ruby Lee Johnson's. But I want to say that all of this is not all that the Word of God is. This is everything that we need to know as a starting place and through. But God is not even the saving the world through just this alone, or my particular interpretation, or how someone else says something that's hurtful about it, because there's a lot in here, right, that has been used hurtfully. Not as much that has been used helpfully to save the world, but it is beyond this. These books are under the rocks. And it is not just okay, it is the patient necessity that you be slightly afraid to go under there and find it. I'm not telling you to stop reading Scripture, not even one iota. I would actually like to see Christians read a whole lot more, beginning with this particular Christian. But I'd like to see you read Matthew 28:20 about 100 times and still not think that you got it. Go and make disciples of all the nations. I will be with you always until the end of the age. That alone is enough mystery and misunderstanding for me. It's great hope. It helps me live my life. But I don't know what that means. Our impression is that they thought the end of the age was around the corner. Maybe it is. 2,000 years is around the corner. 3,000 years. Tomorrow is 2,017 years roughly since Christ said these things, came, went, ascended, resurrected, died on the cross for us. That is right around the corner. Verses under the rocks are the words. I don't do a lot of Greek and high theologizing, but I do love this one Greek word, which comes from, who raises it up is a guy named Origen in the 2nd, 3rd, and 4th century, and it's the Logos, L-O-G-O-S, which is the word. He's really getting at John 1. He's really trying to just get into this, and the Word was with us, and there was light, and all of these wonderful verses, we hear them the most at Christmas time. What is the Word? The Word is Jesus. The Word is your iPhone. I know, I mean, don't take that snippet, but the Word is your iPhone, where the app is that has it. The Word is your Facebook share that gets somebody to know Jesus. Deal with it. I'm sorry. It's important. There's a lot of bad stuff on Instagram, and there's a lot of phenomenal stuff that's saving the world. He has asked us to communicate well. This is part of the Word. Let's use it wisely. This, and if you go to like CEF, Child Evangelism Fellowship, and my friend John Blake and David Johnson, who's one of our core members, but also this is the kind of the way our church works. He's a core member at Christ the King Moravian Church around the corner, but he's a tither of our church. That's, in case you haven't figured out, the new age of the church, they're going to be members at multiple churches. Again, what if the Tobacco Trail Church is just for making better members at Hope Valley Baptist Church? I'm fine with that. But CEF talks about this being a sword that you draw for protection. Now, at first, I have challenges around the kind of military image of that, just because I think the world needs as much peace language as it does, but it's a great language because it is. This is a weapon against the forces of darkness. This is protection in the middle of the night when we still feel like we're in the dark. Draw that sword. You gotta pull it out and use it. You gotta be, it's like every great law enforcement officer, though, they're hoping they go 30 years and never fire their weapon. But they have their weapon. They do. It's important. It's the world that we live in. This is unbelievable power and authority in your life. And we need to use it a lot more than we currently do. But we also need to be more open about beyond it. I say to people sometimes, and I mean, it's on my heart too, when people don't come to church, my feelings are hurt. They're not going to give money. I don't feel, you know, oh, George, you're so great. And we'd like to be there, but just the ocean was so compelling. I get it. The ocean's compelling to me too. What if we said to people when they're going to their soccer tournament in Cary and they're a young family, we empowered them. Okay, you're a discipleship team. This is so exciting that you're going to be outside the walls this morning. We have got to get on a leadership program because we want you to be looking for opportunities to hear and tell stories of God with your cleats on. Now that, FCA has been doing that. That is a gospel-centered vision. But what do we do sometimes? You should have been with us. And we understand why we wanted to all be together. And this worshiping community, this, praise God, this should be busting at the seams. We should have to have three gatherings. We should gather at 8 and 10 and 11, Sunday school in the middle. But we don't need to be anxious. The people who need to be here are here. We just need to keep making invitations. That's what the Word of God is. That's what it is to see a little bit under the rocks. I'm afraid under those rocks. I'm afraid of that boulder falling, even at 4 feet under the Eno. I'm afraid to pull that up and what's under there. What scary, even darker things are underneath. I'm going anyway. I mean, that's what it is to be courageous in the name of Christ, is to go anyway. It's embarrassing to invite people to church. And in this day and age, but in all days and ages, maybe 50 or 70 years ago, they would show up at church because it was financially viable to be seen as a business leader in church, and that was great. But that's not true participation in a worship community. You don't need to worry about what they say. You just need to make the invitation. You need to invite yourself. When you wake up in the morning, you need to invite yourself back into this salvation. It is a blessed assurance that we're saved, but if you're like me, you kind of feel like you need that cloak, that shield of armor, that sword every day. Every day, you got to try it back on. You got to have encouraging friends. You got to have great leadership. You got to have new projects like Hope House. You got to learn from Welcome House. You got to do all these things over and over and over. What do you do in the Eno? You go swimming. What does Norman McLean do? He keeps fly fishing. He describes his Presbyterian father, who's clergy, in the methodical ways that they learn to tie fishing lures, basically. I mean, there's all this step, and the boys just want to jump in and fish. And he's like, no, 10 and 2, 10 and 2. It's order time. I'm not a fly fisherman, but I have some friends, some even ordained clergy, who, for them, this story resonates like the very understanding of Scripture. I hope you have something in your life like that, that takes explanation. Because fly fishing takes explanation. Yeah, you can jump on with the fishermen who were disciples, but it's still to really piece together that fly fishing is the very work of God. That's going to take some high-level thinking. What is it for me? It's been canoeing and kayaking at times. I hope it is on Tuesday. I hope I make that happen and join my oldest son on the Nana Hale or something. It'll take 6 hours of driving, but he really wants it, so I'll try to get over there and make it happen. It's running. And people are like, that doesn't count. I run. And I'm like, well, it counted for Eric Little. It counted. Pheidippides may not have been a Christian, but man, he ran his heart out. It's not just marathoning. It's the same repetitive motion every day. People say to me every day, my main job is I'm the director of marketing at Fleet Feet Sports, so I'm in running every day. Lots of these invitations come out of Fleet Feet. Like, I was at Roxborough teaching on Revelation last year because of fitting someone for the Brooks Adrenaline. It just happens. God is doing a powerful thing. God is doing powerful things in all of your lives that are slightly different than just the clean word of God. This is how you can live the rest of your life, but you have to courageously look under the rocks. So I invite you into that this morning. I hope that that's an opportunity to have learned a little bit more about the Tobacco Trail Church. If you see us out there, we're just on the side. I don't mean any offense, but I'm not dressed up like this because it's just tough with running shoes and on a bike. I'm in running clothes. Sometimes I have a hat on, but I mean no disrespect. And the amazing piece is people stop and they go, what's this? And sometimes they stay and they take a break and maybe we give them a drink of water. Sometimes they're mad. They're mad that we're on the trail. This shouldn't be a religious organization. There shouldn't be anything like this. We've never gotten a permit. We've never asked the city for anything. I thought we'd go through all of that. Guess what? Durham Police Department and the city, they are more than happy for us to be out there. They want gatherings of people on the Tobacco Trail. And probably if we asked for permission, we would then get scolded. But as long as I've never had to ask for forgiveness. There have been run-ins. There was an Ash Wednesday attack by a pit bull. That little boy swimming in the Eno, he was 4 then. There have been schizophrenics on the trail. It's a tough world out there, but there's greatness and wonder and joy and a lot of words under the rocks. Let us pray. God, help us in July to hear and receive your word, your revealing word.